It's been a big news week. President Donald Trump made it to the NATO summit at The Hague, but not before he reprimanded Israel and Iran for violating their ceasefire. Now he's fighting his own political war at home, trying to overcome a leaked early U.S. intelligence finding that the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities set the nation's program back by only a few months. In New York City's Democratic primary for mayor, the victory by Zohran Mamdani, a charismatic young Democratic socialist, over former Governor Andrew Cuomo made waves of its own. And at the Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood sustained a major defeat in a ruling that further narrows abortion access 3 years after the landmark Dobbs decision, which overturned the nationwide right to abortion. In Congress, President Trump's budget bill aims to cut funding to Planned Parenthood. It's Friday, June 27th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Iran's supreme leader made his first statement since the ceasefire. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei downplayed last weekend's U.S. strikes on three Iranian nuclear sites using bunker buster bombs and cruise missiles. He said that President Donald Trump had exaggerated their impact and warned against any further U.S. attacks. Iran retaliated Monday with a missile attack on the U.S. base in Qatar, which caused no casualties. Since the ceasefire, life has been gradually returning to normal in Iran. Germany will not fund private migrant rescue operations in the Mediterranean. The nation has been spending 2 million euros or $2.3 million annually on such efforts. Its new foreign minister has argued they encourage immigration and human trafficking. The move is part of a promised tightening of immigration standards, including border checks by the conservative government. Germany remains committed to humanity and always will be, Foreign Minister Johann Vadaful said. But I don't believe it is the Foreign Office's job to use funds for this type of sea rescue. He added, "We need to be active when the need is greatest," citing the humanitarian emergency in Sudan. Also, Thailand moved to restrict cannabis sales. It was the first country in Asia to decriminalize cannabis in 2022, in a move that boosted tourism and farming. But public backlash has followed with allegations that under-regulation has made the drug available to children, caused addiction, and boosted cross-border smuggling. The order signed by the health minister this week will require shops to sell a limited amount of cannabis only to customers with a prescription. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The shooting between Iran and Israel may be stopping for now, but the conflict is far from over. Among key uncertainties is the fate of Iran's stockpile of 400 kilograms, or 880 pounds, of uranium enriched to 60% purity, a short technical step from weapons grade, which Iran says it successfully moved before it was attacked. A central question is whether post-war diplomacy, if and when it resumes, returns to square one. Iran insists it has a right to enrich uranium on its soil, and the United States and Israel insist it does not. Scott Peterson, Shoshana Solomon, and Taylor Luck report from London, Tel Aviv, Israel, and Amman, Jordan for the Monitor. 1 year after the Supreme Court made it easier for cities to remove encampments and makeshift shelters, California's homeless people face more sweeps and fewer solutions. With homelessness in the state reaching a record high of 187,000 people last year, Governor Gavin Newsom urges local leaders to take back the streets and sidewalks. And with growing pressure to clean up encampments, cities risk swapping long-term solutions for short-term optics and sidelining the very people these efforts claim to support. Troy Aden Sambajon and Melanie Stetson Freeman report from Vallejo, California for The Monitor. Much has been made of the emerging axis of upheaval, an alliance among China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea, and how it threatens the Western-dominated world order. But the recent strikes in Iran highlight some limits of this alliance. The reactions by Beijing and Moscow underscore the priority both are placing on advancing narrower national interests and avoiding entanglement in a Middle East conflict. While Russia is preoccupied with the Ukraine war, China's priority vis-a-vis Iran is to safeguard its investments in the Middle East and access to Iranian oil. Ann Scott Tyson and Fred Weir report from Beijing and Moscow for The Monitor. Officials in suburban Paris have removed benches to promote safety, altering public spaces in the process. Efforts to restore that seating aim to highlight how community and understanding are built. But finding the right balance isn't easy. Public space, by nature, should be a place that is accessible and welcoming to everyone, says urban planner Stefan Malek. But this concept is increasingly threatened. There is less and less tolerance for certain people to hang around. But, he adds, we also have to create places to sit down. Colette Davidson reports from Cologne, France, for The Monitor. There are lots of reasons people feel like dancing. This photo essay, looking at dancers around the world, reminds us that we shake and shimmy in order to connect to ourselves, to one another, to our ancestors. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com. Troy Aden Sambajon reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on A Light of Dignity in New York's Central Park. Early in this first sweltering week of summer, the weather station in New York's famed Central Park recorded the city's highest temperatures in more than a decade. Now, at week's end, this 843-acre oasis in Manhattan marks a high point of a different sort. On Friday, the park's recently completed $160 million Davis Center opens an immense, newly refurbished swimming pool to the public. The facility's soaring pavilion, lush landscaping, and inviting waters restore both beauty and accessibility to a formerly neglected and crumbling section of Central Park. The remodeled environment and infrastructure also symbolize a rebuilding of civic inclusion and trust with residents in adjacent Harlem and East Harlem. From the mid-1970s through the 1990s, when New York City struggled to recover from near bankruptcy, this northeast corner of Central Park became synonymous with urban decay and delinquency. Perceptions of neighborhoods that were predominantly Black or Hispanic conflated poverty and criminality. In 1989, a horrific sexual assault of a woman jogger resulted in the wrongful conviction of five Black and Hispanic teenagers from Harlem. They were exonerated in 2002 and released, but a deep sense of hurt and suspicion lingered within their community. When the nonprofit Central Park Conservancy launched the restoration after the pandemic, there was a lot of learning about the residual anger and disaffection, according to its president, Betsy Smith. But conversations with community representatives showed there are a lot of people who care about integrating this community into the park, she told Bloomberg News. Prominent among them is Youssef Salam, one of the wrongfully arrested teens. After his release, Mr. Salam had written a memoir, Better, Not Bitter. He married and built a family, and in 2023, he was elected to the city council. Speaking at the April launch of the pavilion, Mr. Salam acknowledged the stunning architectural accomplishment of the complex. Both the pool and the building are multi-use, multi-season marvels of design and engineering. The pool converts to an artificial turf-topped field in spring and fall, and to a skating rink in winter. The building has a half-acre green roof and floor-to-ceiling glass doors that pivot to let in summer breezes or keep out cold air. But to Mr. Salam, the facility is about much more than recreation. "It's a homecoming, a healing for me," he said, according to the West Side Spirit. "It's a restoration for our community, not only our land, but our dignity as well." The shadow of injustice loomed large here. "Today, we reclaim that light," he declared. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, if it feels as if our lives are unraveling, this poem tells us we can turn to God's renewing, harmonizing goodness, which brings balance and progress. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Jeff Turton, and Good Luck Ajay.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.